611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion.
Brothers and sisters, good morning to you. Brothers and sisters watching online, good morning to you. Today we are starting a new book. We are reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When you read this book, how do you feel? Today, you know, the black rainstorm signal is on. But I know that many brothers and sisters are watching online with a longing. And on site, we have a lot of brothers and sisters have this longing, coming from different places as well. So for the Church of Corinthians, it's also a church where people have a longing. As we read this chapter, this book, from the book of Acts, we have read about Corinthians. Acts 18, let's turn to Acts 18. That Paul was in Corinth. He met a lot of people who have so they have Aquila and then Priscilla he met. And when Paul went there, he brought a whole group of people to Christ. Even the people in charge of the synagogue came to Christ. So they are Jewish believers. They find Jesus very strange and they are opposing the Christians. But Paul brought them to Christ to experience the Holy Spirit. After Paul left Corinthians, then the Church of Corinthians established. Those who did not know anything about Christian beliefs, they gathered together there. It's a wealthy city, actually. They have freedoms. And they have many chances to come to know the Christian belief. Now, as we read chapter 1, so Corinthian church is a church of gifts. How does Corinthian church relate to us? So God is using 611 church, and we are a church of gifts. For the past two decades, God has been working in this place. When I remember that in the time of North Point Pierce, we have a prophetic course, healing and deliverance. Many people come here because of the spiritual gift. But in this church of Corinthians, they have gifts. They have very good talent. They are rich, they are knowledgeable, they are cultured, they have gifts, they are eloquent, and they have the footsteps of Paul. And what happened later on? Why did Paul write this letter? Because just within few days, few years of the church established, they are not doing well. And relationship is in trouble. And the church is being affected by the culture at the time. They have the problem of lust. And then there are false teaching of the church, in the church. So those Corinthian believers, so they send message to Paul seeking help. How did Paul feel? The godly group that he has established is facing difficulties. Why were there so many difficulties in relationship? Why did they stumble? Why did they fall in the area of lust? This gifted church and powerful church didn't develop well. Why? So Paul wrote this letter with this at the back of his mind, telling Corinthian believers, you are chosen. You have a, there is a way out for you. The Holy Spirit is right here. It's leading the whole church. We'll come out of the problems. So today we are reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we, as brothers and sisters with longing, so 611 is in this revival. How can we let revival continue? How the church that God has established continue to go forward? God wants to remind us through the book of Corinthians. Now the title I will give today, Believe in God's Choosing and Establish a Humble and United Community. Believe in the choosing of God and establish a humble and united community. Verses 1 to 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. They are called. Paul was called. Sosthenes is called. Who is Sosthenes? In Acts chapter 18, we just mentioned. So Paul brought the head of the Corinthians in Corinth to Acts 18 verse 8. The Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, and also Sosthenes. It's not easy to bring the rulers of the synagogue to come to Christ. It's not easy. You imagine right now in your city, in your place, you bring the governors to Christ. Or you bring other religious leaders to Christ. Now this is a revival. It's not easy to raise up leaders. So to Paul, he raised up a Jewish, a believers community. So Sosthenes is called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the and then verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 1 to 3, we are called. The church, the Caribbean church is called. Each fruit that is not to be taken for granted. God is telling us through Paul, our church is called. Without being called, this community can never be established. When Paul went to Corinth, he was unwelcomed. In the book of Acts, it says that when Paul went to Corinth, he need to debate, reasoning, urging the Greek, the Jews, but these two group of people to the identity of Christ, they look down on Christ. To the resurrection of Jesus, they are dubious, they are not believing. But Paul tells, working with these two groups of people and brought the leaders of synagogues to Christ and the Gentiles to Christ. Now the church is being built. Now, brothers and sisters, our church, or the church you have built, do you truly believe that you are called? Now, the called means you are invited. God takes initiative and comes to our church, to our city, so that people can believe in Christ. That is the calling of God and choosing of God. Verses 4 to 9, we also find grace. We are called, chosen. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. God's grace. What does it include and entail? That means you are rich in everything, and then you have utterance in all knowledge, testimony of Christ, so that their hearts will be strengthened. So for the Corinthian church, the church of 3 to 4 years only, but they are highly gifted. They are not lacking any money. They are not lacking any utterance and knowledge. And God, Paul is telling them, He will strengthen you to the end. Verse 8, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why did Paul tell Corinthians this? Why did he emphasize that they were called, they received grace? Because they doubted themselves. The group, this community, doubted themselves. When they face attack from others, they wonder, did God really call me and choose me? And I believe that they faced that struggles in relationships, though they were united at first. They were birthed by Paul together. But when they faced tension in relationship, how did they face it? When they faced problems in church about human, they were frustrated, discouraged, and they even doubt. They were gifted, they were powerful. But when there was division in the church, when they say that I don't like you, you don't like me, and there is tension in the church, they were despaired, they were discouraged. But Paul tells them, there is bound, the church bound to face problems. We're bound to face problems. But the letter is telling the church, do not worry, because you are chosen by God. And God will strengthen you Himself. Brothers and sisters, have you ever faced tension in church, in the relationship between cell leaders, cell members? So cell members are birthed by the cell members in the spirit. But do you face tension in the relationship? And sometimes our love and trust will be shaken. And then even in church, we always face difficulty as well. Just like the Corinthian church, and some people may leave because of division, because of ganging up. We see many troubles. We have been in 611 for so long. I have experienced how real the Holy Spirit is. I have experienced the healing of the Holy Spirit. And I have seen the beautiful picture of unity in this church. But if anyone is leaving, when someone is comparing and then attacking each other, many, many nights I was crying on the way of following God. I asked God, God, did you not choose us? Did you not call us? Holy Spirit, is your grace not sufficient? Why? Why is our heart so deceitful? Why is it so hard to deal with relationship? As cell leaders, we disciple others, or we are being discipled. Or I can see that relationship between brothers and sisters, we will have our doubts. But God tells us through the book of Corinthians, yes, we will definitely face difficulties in relationship, but God surely will affirm us. And then verses 10 to 17, with gifts, we need, even with gifts, we need more of gifts, unity, sorry. We have gifts, we need more of unity. Yes, the Corinthian church is gifted, but there is division. Just like what we see in church. Yes, we are following God together. But can we go to the end in unity? Sometimes when we have greater gifts, it's even harder to be in unity, because when we have gifts, we will compare. When your gift is more and more obvious, and then we are, like, by nature, we want to compare, and then we will classify people. And then verse 10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak in the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. What does it mean, speaking the same thing? That means we are of one heart. Everything from this community, every value system is the same. But is it hard to say the same thing? Yes, it's so very hard. By nature, when we face different people, we say different things. When we face our authority, we say something that is positive, good thing. When we face our spiritual next generation, we display the best of us. But when there are not many people, maybe just you and your one another person, that is your most free and relaxed, we don't say the same thing. We'll gossip, we judge. Especially in 6-1, where we say that we need to be real, transparent, and genuine. Can we really be real? Maybe we can only be real with our peers, but when we are real, we are comparing, we are competing. We have a lot of good value system, our core values. We preach it from the pulpit, but how about in our daily life? Maybe, no, we don't live according to what we preach. We have division. Yes, we have someone that is closer, and then we will tell them what is in our heart. But maybe those are not biblical, not according to the truth. Maybe when we are in division, because we'll compare. We need to be careful. When we have gifts, we must have unity as well. So for the Church of Corinthians, they face division. Those of Chloe's household went to a poll that there are contentious among you. What are the contentious? Verse 12. Some say that I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. Now Cephas is Peter. I am of Christ. So we are divided. And then we will be of division. So I am of Paul, that means that Paul brought me to Christ. They take pride in themselves. I have been here since the birth of this church. I know everyone in this church. I am of Paul, because I came to this church so early. I am superior. I am of Apollos. Apollos means who? In the book of Acts, Paul is described as he is well-knowledge before being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then later on, he experienced Holy Spirit. He was helped. Acts chapter 19, he went and served in Corinth. Chapter 19, verse 1. That means he's eloquent, he is knowledgeable. He is very eloquent. And they say, I am Apollo's disciple. I'm best in Bible knowledge. I am the descendant of teachers. And some say, I am of Cephas. Or maybe they have contact, they know Peter is the first disciple in church. He is famous. And say that I am of Christ. Some say I am of Christ. Of course, we are all of Christ, that's for sure. Here, I'm of Christ, it means there is a gang at that time, a group. They say that I'm so spiritual. They have no relationship with others. They are only of Christ. And then they will be of their own world. And then they just pursue the spiritual things. So a church of spiritual gift can have division, may have division. They say, okay, I'm of him, I'm of that. You imagine in 611, one day if we are in this division, it's a scary picture. Some say I'm of Pastor Joshua. Well, Pastor Joshua did in-depth healing and deliverance on me and say that, no, I'm of Pastor Jason Wang. I am the monitor of the Bible school teaching. I receive this elite teaching. And some say, no, I'm of Dr. HK. I graduate from the traditional seminary. I am best based in Bible knowledge. Will we have division like that? If a church is divided this way, it's a big, big problem. It's nothing, it's not a joke. It will bring division to the church. When Paul hears this, immediately he decides to write the 1 Corinthians. And then verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? We do not exalt people. But we need to be very careful. We know that the church is built by God through man. And we believe that God sets up authority. So if we exalt people to a point, the church is not of God anymore. And then we divide the church into different groups. And then we replace the truth with man's teaching. Then it will bring division. And then there will be no more unity. So here it classified according to the spiritual gift. It says that no one can boast. He didn't baptize many people. So he thanked God that I baptized none of you. If I had baptized many, according to the thinking of the Corinthian church, then the Corinthian church will be of Paul. So I thank God that I baptized none of you, because everything should be in the name of Christ. Lest anyone should say that I have baptized in my own name. So a church revival, revival in the church may continue. We must be in unity. Yes, we have our spiritual gifts, but we must be united, because we must know that for each gift is from God. And every gifted leader, God brought them to the church. They are sent and called by Christ. And they are from God. We need to be very careful. Yes, we tend to compare. That's in our nature. Even though when we first came to a church, we also compare with others. Okay, as a member, church member, you may say, I prefer so-and-so's preaching than others. No one teaches you to do that. But by human nature, we do that. We compare different worship leaders or cell leaders. And we ourselves compare with others. We just did this youth cell leaders retreat. So a group of the youth confessed their sins before God. There are some funny moments. So Puno, our youth worship leaders, and then when we were to exchange our communion because of our comparison, and then a group of the worship team line up before them. They are so young. They have been discipled for just a few years. Or maybe they just joined the worship team. But we already compare. This happened 10 years ago, the same thing. But it was not Puno who, but there was a Pastor Asaph. People compare themselves with David. At different ages, we do that. Especially if you have the worship gifts, we compare ourselves with gifts. If you have gifts in discipleship, and then we compare with our cell group number. Between churches, we compare. Compare our numbers, compare our relationship with authority. Brothers and sisters, we must be extra careful. So the Caribbean church is called by God. Everything comes from God. When we see the grace of God, we see that everything comes from God. Do not compare. Even the brothers and sisters in church, you have experienced this as well. And then in a marketplace at work, we have a lot of division. So we must know that this happened just not in church, but also in marketplace. But we must know that even we work in the marketplace, God has called us into the marketplace. God has chosen all of this. Among all the companies, God chooses for us to go to that company. Do not compare and live out this unity. And then verses 18 to 31. Exalt the cross, and then boast in Christ only. Exalt the Christ in of the cross, and then boast in Christ only. Now Paul tells Corinthians, we should only exalt Christ who was on the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to the Jews, to the Greek, because they found this very so foolish. They cannot believe. To the Jews, how can this ordinary person, and you say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, are impossible. The Messiah from God, it's a glorious king, must be. He will lead us to restore our nation. Now, this Jesus Christ, he's low. He's of lowly background. He was born in a small city. And you tell me that he is the Messiah? This is foolishness. Impossible. Impossible. It's not the teaching they believe in the Old Testament. Their reasoning cannot go past it. They want to have a miracle of restoring their nation. But Jesus died and rose again. And now we are still under Roman Empire. No, no. The message of the cross is foolish to them. To the Greek, they cannot believe. They believe in knowledge and wisdom. You know, the science that we study today, the philosophy we study today, started in Greek. These people who are highly qualified, educated, they are the source of the worldly knowledge. They cannot believe the miracles of resurrection. Impossible. You are lying. These are foolishness. But Paul tells Corinthian church, how did this church came to pass? It was comprised of the Greek and the Jews. So he wants to strengthen this community. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. Once again, he encouraged the community because there is an outside voice that turned Corinthian church from believing into unbelieving. From full of spiritual gifts, they pulled them down to reasoning. This is the Greek teaching. But as they exalt the Jesus Christ, they want to pull them back to the Jewish teaching. But Paul is telling them once again, at verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. And then verse 24, but to those who are called, so Christ is the knowledge, is the wisdom of God. So God is telling us, a church built by God, we must exalt Jesus. Whatever truth we're sharing, we must exalt the message of cross. What is the message of the cross? Justified by faith, we do not compare and live out the sacrificial life of Jesus and do not puff up and know that everything comes from faith. Do not look at the reality. Believe Christ in heaven. He will bring down the resurrection. And then verses 26 to 31, and Paul tells Corinthians once again, you are chosen. So in the eyes of a man, the Corinthian church is foolishness. But here it says that he has chosen what is foolish in the world. Verses 28 to 28, God has chosen the foolish things of the world. God has chosen the weak thing of the world, the base things of the world. On one hand, they refer to Christ. Now, Jesus is foolish, shameful, and base in the world. But for the church as well, before the world, we are foolish, we are shameful, we are base. But God remind them once again, we are called in this world. God has chosen this apparently weak building, community. We need to exalt Jesus. Verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, verse 31 is the only command word in the whole book of Bible, this letter. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So today we want to build this community as well. We expect, we look forward to revival to keep happening. We look forward that God will keep working in us. What is the key? Whatever the circumstance, we believe that God has chosen us. God has called us in our community to be a church, and this church will become a powerful church. Not to exalt gifts, not to exalt people, but we keep choosing to be humble and choose to be in unity. Let God be glorified. Let the teaching of this letter to become our truth to us. Those who have a longing, we will experience revival. Now today, let's worship our God. God, we give you all the glory. You are the center of the world. Jesus, you are the glorious King. You are our Savior King. We belong to you. We praise you. You are worthy of our praise. Today we are called. We are called by Jesus Christ. Now today, let's just open our mouths and then give thanks to God that how you came to Christ. With this simple truth, this gospel, we become His and we become part of His family. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not through some complicated teaching that we come to Christ, but simply we are sinners. As we believe, then you forgive us and you save us. The message is so simple, even for a third-year-old child. You don't want us to be wise or strong. You just want us to come to know you. I give you thanks, God. You are a perfect God. What is foolish to man, that just we confess with our mouth and then we believe in our hearts, then we are saved. How unworthy we are. That we were proud, self-righteous, but today we think back, we look back, our weaknesses. In our weaknesses, you still choose us. You still call us. And you still save us. We give you thanks and praise. When we are in corruption, in sin, without your saving hand, if you had not died for us, by your blood you have cleansed us from our sins. Today we are still in sin, and we are still in death. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We read your word here. We do not take this as granted. But even in the black rainstorm signal, we are here to read your word. All by your choosing, by your calling, we are prompted by your Spirit that we can be part of the salvation. We come before you and we thank you because you know each of us and you know our weaknesses. The Scripture says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. After being here for a period of time, then we judge the speakers each week. We gang up, like which speakers do we like, do we prefer? And if we know who the speaker is, then maybe we will be on time, or we will just choose to be watching on online. Let's examine our heart. Please take a seat and then pray before God. Do we judge our authority? Do we judge the speakers on stage? Is your worship good? Is your prayer good? But we forget that this is by God's grace. Holy Spirit, may your spirit prompt us that we may see how we compare and compete with one another, that we gang up and then we are in division. God, you hear our prayers. We admit that we have a lot of preference and comparison. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, whether you're watching online or watching on site, you think comparison, competitions. Who am I compared with today, now? My peers? Among co-workers? Am I jealous? Wow, he or she are so gifted. Yes, the authority loves them more. Just think of a person. Your imaginary enemy or your opponent. Now share one by two with find one person and tell them. Yes, I know, but I cannot come out of it. And then share. You always compare with them. You say, wow, you're so bad. Why did the authority love you so much? You're so proud. I don't like you. No, I do not like you. Or maybe among co-worker, wow, you shift the work to me. You don't want to do anything. If you are watching online, then just open your mouth and tell God. Today, let's speak it out. And then before God, we admit that, that we compare, that we are in division. God, once again we come before you. You see our hearts and you see our weaknesses. Today we come before you and we confess our sins. You embrace us, you love us, you delight in us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We know that we are called by your grace, but we always compare. I'm better than the person next to me. How come you don't love me more? How come my cell leader don't love me more? How come I am not being seen more? God, I come before you and ask that you forgive us. We look at our gift, our conduct. We compare ourselves with others. Forgive us. You do not classify us. You just love us. We divided people. And we judge ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Jesus, we come before you and we confess our sins wholeheartedly. You are good God. Our life issues, the church issues, we know that there will be a way out. You don't want division and strife in us. You want us to be in one, and you have promised us. We are chosen by you. We are part of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. And we declare all the strife, comparison, and jealousy, and dispute. Let's pray for ourselves. May God help us. You will strengthen us till the end. This is your promise. take away the judgment, comparison, what displeases you. All the filthiness be gone. Help us to dissolve the grudges, misunderstanding. Take away all this. Let us have more love and look at others with your eyes. And show us that beauty in your creation. And shower your love on us, that by the love of Christ, we are different from the world. Bless our relationships. Give us humility and unity. Lord Jesus, we thank you. By your blood, by your love, we are one. Thank you for choosing us. You choose us, not because we are wise, but because we are foolish. You choose us, not because we are strong, but because we are weak. You choose us, not because we are good, but we are base. You are the our example of humility, and you are our pioneer. In the name of Jesus, I bless brothers and sisters. We are here. We receive your love, your word. We receive the humility and the calling from you and all your leading. In the name of Jesus, I bless each brother and sisters as we receive the humility from you. We can continue to go forward because your Holy Spirit will guide us. In the name of Jesus, I bless each brother and sisters. We listen to the Holy Spirit and follow your footsteps. Your humility will be in us. In our survey, in our family, in our relationship, we are one. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the end of our meeting. See you tomorrow.